Friday. Welcome to Friday indeed. Awful lot of stuff happening. We're going to try to cover a little bit of it tonight as we make it to Memorial Day weekend. We'll be live on Monday, of course. This first hour is being sponsored by David Dittamore. His message, the Tacoma chapter of Veterans for Peace, will have displays at Arlington Northwest this weekend. Or will be displaying Arlington Northwest this weekend at Marine Park on Ruston Way in Tacoma. Please stop by at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, Saturday, to help with the assembly, or 5 p.m. Monday to help with the cleanup, or stop by any time in between to view and show your respect for our fallen military personnel. All right? Tacoma Chapter of Veterans for Peace will be displaying Arlington Northwest this weekend at Marine Park, Ruston Way in Tacoma. Tomorrow morning, starting at 7 a.m., you can help with the setup, or Monday at 5 p.m., you can help with the cleanup, or any time in between to view and show your respects for our fallen military personnel. Thanks, David. Thank you. We're having a horrendous mosquito season here. And from what I read in the papers, so to speak, it's all over the country. It's not a surprise. This is part of global climate change, just like the tropical storms already buffering the country, and the massive heat wave, and the year with no winter, and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, roll with it, truth seekers. We all on this planet have made a decision to go ahead and allow this to happen. So let's just roll with it. Now, the mosquito situation, and these are nasty little bastards. I don't know how it is in your part of the country, but these to me, they look like swamp mosquitoes. The little tiny ones, and when they bite you, it just leaves a huge mark. I got a bite on my forearm when I was out mowing this morning. And it was the only part of my body where I did not have this summer's scent insect repellent from Helen Hollers. No, she hasn't sponsored our other program. No, no phone call. I just want to tell you, when you get a good product, and this woman runs Helen Hollers, when you get a good product, it's incredible. Now, we don't use that spray crap with DEET. And, when she first sent me this, I don't know, was it Kathy last year? Maybe it was 2 years ago. I just put it in the back of the drawer, and I thought, oh, okay. And then I started using it. Whew. All right, end of commercial. I just wanted to say that if you really want something that keeps these stinging little bastards away from you, get some of this stuff. It's called Summer's Scent. It's all natural. There's none of this crap in it. Pennyroyal, citronella, eucalyptus, essential oils are those. Mountain mint, sweet almond oil. Whew. No, don't drink it. But I don't know. I just felt like saying that because every time we open the front door here at the house, there's just this cloud, these little vampiric bastards just waiting. So get some of this. Go to my website, MikeMalloy.com, click on Helen Hollers, and it's called Summer Scent Insect Repellent. You will love it. And no, she didn't ask me to do this. This is strictly on my own. Strictly get this stuff. If we put it on Molly, put it on Kathy. Doesn't seem to bother the dog, the mosquitoes, but you got to try this. You got to try this. I don't care how big your mosquitoes are. Summer Scent Insect Repellent. Yeehaw. Rush Limbaugh. Every time I say his name, I get the gag reflex thing going. in a moment here. Kathy, do you have that? Okay. In a moment, I want to play a little bit of sound that we got for you earlier this week. And the reason I want to play it is, you know, in Missouri, they just unveiled a bust of Limbaugh that's in the rotunda, the Capitol Rotunda? Where is it? I'm not sure where. Of Limbaugh. And, you know, that's bad enough. I mean, it's pretty disgusting, really, when you stop and think about it, that somebody like the pig man would have, you know, would have something commemorating his ugliness displayed right out there for everybody to see, and, you know, a place of honor and yada, yada, yada. Well, the Republicans in the Missouri House have decided that they're a little bit concerned about vandalism against this statue of this filthy bastard. So they have decided to spend taxpayer money. Yeah. You'd think this piggish prick would provide his own money, but taxpayer money to have a video camera on his statue 24/7. State House clerk in Missouri told the Associated Press that he had authorized the $1,000 camera after Republican lawmakers expressed concerns about vandalism. Now, Limbaugh's statue is the only one in the rotunda, the Capitol Rotunda, with 24-hour security. Play that. Maybe this is part of the reason that they need a surveillance camera.
Let's go to Katie, Island Park, Idaho. Glad you called. Great to have you on the program. Hello.
Hi, Rush. Yeah, my name is Katie, and I'm 14, and I'm not sure if I qualify to be a Rush baby or a Rush babe. What do you think?
You're 14?
I'm 14.
You're both. You are a Rush baby and a Rush babe both. We'll count you both.
Alrighty.
Have you signed up at our Facebook page?
Yes, I just did this morning.
Well, then you're a Rush babe. That's it.
Hey.
14. Well, thanks very much, Katie. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rush.
See, folks, this program has no boundaries.
Yeah,
that's
enough from this filthy son of a bitch. When you listen to that audio, that little piece of tape or a little piece of sound, what do you think? What do you think? What do you right wingers who monitor this program? What do you think? That's your boy. That's your boy. How old are you, Katie?
14, Rush.
Ah! Well, you're a little bit too old for me, but... What a sick bastard. Assistant House Minority Leader Tishora Jones, who's a Democrat, told the Associated Press, quote, if they thought that the bus might be defaced or vandalized, then they have to guard it with a camera. It's another indication that maybe they shouldn't have put it there to begin with. It's just another chapter in this never-ending saga of this man who deserves no honor in the people's house. Yeah. What a rancid bastard. I don't know how he has managed to survive all these years without choking to death on his own throat fat. I'm sure at some point it's going to happen. Hey, bring me another pork sandwich. Wait a minute. There's something. Good guy. Give me.
Thankful for love from everyone, and when it's said done, I bet this month will be a better one. If I upset you, don't stress, never forget. God isn't finished with me yet. Feel his hand on my brain when I write rhymes. I go blind and let the Lord do his thing. But am I less holy? Cause I choose to pump a blunt and drink a beer with my homies.
You are a pervert. You are a pervert. Hey.
You are now entering a flying monkey free zone. It's Mike Malone.
Hey. 21 past the hour. Regarding the Tacoma chapter of Veterans for Peace displaying Arlington Northwest at the Marine Park on Ruston Way in Tacoma, got an email from the organization Women Standing. They've been standing for the past few years at what they call this vast visual with the crosses aligning with the Veterans for Peace. And Jude, who is the organizer of Women Standing, says, close to my home, take it for what it's worth with the crosses, yet please know the internal process one experiences while standing in the midst of so much death is emotionally piercing to one's inner being. It truly is a walk that many women have chosen to take with the combat boots and flowers. Not for the weak of heart. What she's referring to, the combat boots and flowers, Women Standing, they have a pair of combat boots used and a peace lily that they put in each one of the boots when they stand for peace. Thanks, Jude. And thanks to David Dittemore for bringing that up. We will be doing podcast trivia tonight, since it is Friday. Also, I need to pass this on to you. KW reminds me. I heard this earlier this week when I was listening to Sirius. There's a Pink Floyd marathon on Sirius XM Channel 27 this weekend. Channel 27 on Sirius XM. All Pink Floyd. Oh, my God. All right. The Pope's butler has been arrested. I know. Pope Benedict's butler. Did Jesus have a butler? Did Jesus have someone who people waited on him? I know he had 12 disciples, but were they there to butler him and massage him and stroke his ego? I don't know. Anyway, Pope Benedict's butler was arrested today in connection with an investigation into leaks of, you know, confidential documents. Some alleging all sorts of corruption in Vatican contracts. Ooh, I hope Jesus isn't listening. I hope Jesus isn't listening. The scandal, which has come to be known as VatiLeaks, we mentioned this months ago, involves the leaking of a string of documents to Italian media in January and February, including personal letters to the Pope. Some of the documents involve allegations of corruption, mismanagement, cronyism, and other stuff in the awarding of contracts for work in the Vatican. And some problem with the Vatican Bank. Oh, my God, they have a bank? They have a bank? They have a masseuse? They have a butler? They have a bank, the Vatican Bank. Well, of course. I mean, you know, why not? Pope, if Jesus comes back, he's going to rip your head off. He really is. Wrap it up in that cape you wear and flip it so your head spins off into hell where all the devils are going to play soccer with it, Mr. Pope. A Vatican Bank. Well, of course, I mean, I knew about the Vatican Bank, but when you see it in print, Vatican Bank. Vatican spokesmen, plural, said earlier today that a person in possession of confidential documents had been arrested, but they could not disclose his position or identity until they were given permission from Vatican investigators. We cannot tell you either how many priests have buggered little children. We cannot. And we move them away from the victims as soon as we find out, unless a priest develops a certain attachment to one of his little altar boys. A senior Vatican source said, it's all very sad. The Pope's butler serves in the apartments of the Apostolic Palace, serving at the papal tables handing rosaries to visiting dignitaries, and riding in the first seat of the Pope Mobile at papal audiences. He has been known to place his hand under the Pope's robe. The Pope, who has been shocked and saddened by the leaks, not by the crimes. Oh, no, 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 no. Shocked and saddened by the leaks, has ordered several investigations about who the leaker is, including one headed by Vatican police. Wait a minute. Oh, I know. It's Vatican City. They have police. They have a bank. They have a masseuse. They have a butler. They have trillions of dollars stashed away. They have corruption coming out their eyeballs. They have popes they have priests and popes and cardinals and bishops and lords and ladies and hunks and duples and hamels and ramens and beebles and all kinds of stuff. Huh? Oh, my goodness.
They say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is saved.
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
It is indeed. Hey, if you ever get a chance to see Camina Burana performed live, which is what this music is, you really should go see it. It is quite a production. We saw it with the Atlanta Symphony, the Robert Shaw singers. Singers from Morehouse, the Morehouse Men's Choir. It's a long time ago. It is astonishing piece of theater, is the only way to put it, theater. That is our traditional, oops, here come the crazy religion people music. You know, although it really is not all, it's not a religious the piece itself, we use it contrary to why it was composed, but we're contrarians here, that's all, you know. This hour, again, is being sponsored by the Tacoma Chapter of Veterans for Peace. They will be displaying Arlington Northwest this weekend at Marine Park on Ruston Way in Tacoma. Now, they need some help. 7 a.m. tomorrow morning with the assembly and 5 p.m. Monday with the cleanup. What they do is put out crosses, white crosses, representing Americans who have been killed in the Iraq War. That's what it's been in the past. But they need help with setup 7 a.m. tomorrow morning or cleanup 5 p.m. Monday. And, of course, you're invited to stop by anytime in between to view the display and show your respect to our fallen military personnel. So you might want to do that this weekend. And thanks to Jude, who sent me some photos from past events. It is, I'm sure it's very, very moving. From Prairie 2, the Vikings were too tough for them, are we? Why, that's kind of a hidden title. I mean, the meaning. Let us look at what he wrote. Initial unemployment claims were down again last week, maintaining the improving trend. The big headline trumpeted on the news this morning was that capital goods orders, that's business equipment, were down again in April, which surely proves that Obama's killing the economy. They don't mention that this has been the trend since the special tax break that Obama and the Democrats gave to small businesses on such purchases. Those expired at the end of the past year. The Republicans, who are such so-called friends to small business, have refused to renew the tax break. Tax cuts are only for the really, really rich, don't you know? Durable goods orders. Wait a minute. Let me go back to that. This tax, special tax break that Obama and the Democrats gave to small businesses expired at the end of the past year. And these filthy goddamn Republicans who will do anything, they would cut their own mother's throats and giggle while she bled to death if it meant that it would somehow screw up Obama's chance for reelection. Republicans have turned into a party of destroyers. There is just no question about that. Back to Prairie 2. Durable goods orders were up, however, cars, appliances, and such, suggesting that business is, in fact, recovering. North American automakers are operating at near capacity. Oh, no, wait a minute. Didn't Mitt Romney want to just destroy those? Why would anybody vote for Mitt Romney? I digress. North American automakers are operating at near capacity and will curtail the normal summer plant shutdowns in order to meet demand. You don't hear the Republicans chanting their favorite questions so much anymore. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Because too often the answer is yes. Not that we're doing all that great. We could reinstate the Alexander Hamilton plan that built America, the plan that Reagan and his successors killed. If you're old enough, you can remember the bright, shiny George Jetson future we were promised for the 21st century. You know, like the Chinese are doing. They really like our founding fathers in China, and they learn from our founding fathers. Gasoline prices continue to decline at the time of the year when you would expect them to go up. Families are planning to drive a lot more for Memorial Weekend, although air travel is expected to be down. Airlines are still hurting from getting burned on jet fuel futures. Futures again, see? Not jet fuel prices, but jet fuel futures. But I digress. And they are taking it out on ticket buyers. Wall Street bankers drove the expected fuel price way up. So airlines have been contracted into paying higher than the current market price for fuel. When you're on a plane and riding back in steerage where you pay extra for oxygen, just remember the fat banker up in first class paid for his ticket with the money he made off your ticket. The same goes for filling up at the gas pump. The price may be down compared to last year, but you're still paying a lot of extra for the gas. Republicans won't allow the Dodd-Frank Act to be enforced against bankers controlling the price of gasoline. That's how Ann Romney can drive several Cadillacs. And you've got your eye on a used Toyota. The predatory Wall Street banks are moving against Spain's banks, using their lapdog credit rating agencies to downgrade Spain to junk bond status. Spain was really a bright spot in the world's economy, but unregulated, predatory, transnational capitalism is destroying them. If the so-called periphery countries of Europe were smart, they would flip off the bankers like Iceland did. The bankers made a grab for the whole island of Iceland and lost. The Vikings were too tough for them. The consolation prize for the bankers seems to be Southern Europe. Don't worry. They will get around to us eventually. Prairie2.com. But no matter, you know, when you take an analytical look, or you have someone like Prairie 2 do it for you, or Paul Krugman. But if you take an analytical look at the price of just about everything that you and I have to buy, well, we think we have to buy it. I mean, there's certain things we do have to buy. Food, you know. We have shelter of some kind. Either it's our house or an apartment or a basement of a friend or under an interstate overpass. But we've got some kind of shelter against the storm, right? But if you take a look at anything that we have to buy, in there is a cut that go to these predatory banks and bankers who have absolutely chewed into the entire economy. It's called VIG, if you are part of a gangster neighborhood. It's called risk assessment. Call it anything you want. But it's what the house takes, always, no matter what. Only the VIG, in times like these, we've always paid VIG. That's just the way it goes. You know, the vigorish. But in times like this, with these greedy sons of bitches, they're taking too much. All right, listen. You know, take a little bit, just a little bit. Don't, didn't they off Joe Pesci in Goodfellas because he took too much? Is that why they shot him? He kept killing people, yeah. Yeah, pretty much the same thing. The bankers do it without guns. Joe Pesci would just shoot people. Greatest mafia movie ever made, by the way. Goodfellas. So, there's all your answers from Prairie 2. And it is sad to see what is happening in Spain. Do you know what the unemployment rate for young people up to the age of, I think, 30? I read this in the Times the other day. It's approaching 50%. In the Great Depression, global unemployment was, what, around 28%? 50%. I don't know. It seems like something is going to happen in Europe that is going to be felt here. As Prairie 2 points out, the international bankers are just raping and ripping these countries to pieces. And yet, when somebody stands up and gives them the finger like Iceland did, I mean, Iceland, everybody's saying, well, Iceland is about to be nuked. And Iceland said, oh, no, we're not. And just told the European bankers, the International Monetary Fund, all those people are saying, hey, you owe us money! And Iceland said, well, maybe we do. So what? Everybody owes somebody something. So what? Okay, we're going to go fishing now. Bye. Right? Hey, yeah. All right, let's... by the way, we have a guest tonight. Coming up in about 20 minutes. Do you know him? What's Caffrey's first name? Is Caffrey for Congress? He is, I don't have it written down here, this man's first name. He's from the California 2nd District. That's the North Coast. If he has a political party, it's called the New Green America. And one of the things he advocates is the full legalization of and sharing of marijuana. We're going to be talking with Mr. Caffrey in about 20 minutes. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Website, Caffrey, C-A-F-F-R-E-Y, CaffreyForCongress.org. See what you think. This hour has been sponsored by David Dittamore. His message, the Tacoma chapter of Veterans for Peace will be displaying Arlington Northwest this weekend at Marine Park on Ruston Way in Tacoma. Please stop by at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning to help with the assembly, or 5 p.m. Monday to help with cleanup, or stop by any time in between to view the display and show your respects to our fallen military personnel. So check that one out, would you? And David, thank you very much for the sponsorship and for the message also. What else do we have here? Oh, the podcast trivia, which will be in about bottom of the next hour after our guest leaves. And it's a good one, so don't forget that coming up in about 40 minutes. I was flipping through the channels today, landed on, I don't know what I landed on, but Joe Biden was apparently giving, or not giving a speech, but he was talking to families and friends of military personnel killed in action. And all of a sudden he got way off script, I guess, and started retelling the story of the death of his wife and daughter 40 years ago in a car accident. And he had just started, I believe, as a senator. And he said that when he got the phone call that his wife was dead, his one-year-old daughter was dead, his two children, his two boys, I should say, were in critical condition. He said today he realized then how grief might push a person to suicide. And like he said, not you don't have to be crazy. You don't have to be out of your mind. You can just all of a sudden be hit with so much grief that there's no way out. Biden said, for the first time in my life, I understood how someone could consciously decide to commit suicide. He was speaking at a meeting of the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. This is at a hotel in Crystal City. Is that California? This group offers counseling to relatives and friends of military personnel who have died. Biden said, suicide, not because they were deranged, not because they were nuts, because they'd been to the top of the mountain, and they just knew in their heart that they'd never get there again, that it was never going to get, and he paused, he said, never going to be that way again. That's how an awful lot of you feel. He told the military families how low the crash had brought him, and he said, quote, I probably shouldn't say this with the press here, but now it's more important. You're more important. Now, Biden had actually told the story on in his book, Promises to Keep, but today that story was, if you saw any of it on television, it was a powerful, powerful part of his speech that illustrates Biden's particular style of rhetoric. When he gets into personal stuff, it is incredibly moving. And, you know, he didn't stand there and choke up. He didn't get tears in his eyes. But as I watched him, I got tears in mine. As I watched him and listened to him, I tried to imagine any Republican doing that. The only time I've seen Republican males cry is when they stand there and say, I failed my wife. I failed God. But you know, she wore this little short skirt, and every time she moved, it was like little puppies in a bag, and I couldn't help myself. But I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry that I failed my marriage and my children and my constituent. You know, that's the only time these sons of bitches cry. That's the only time. And then towards the end, here it is. He said, I promise you this. There will come a day. I promise you and your parents as well. There'll come a day when the thought of your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife will bring a smile to your lips before it brings a tear to your eye. It will happen. He said, my prayer for you is that that day will come sooner or later, but the only thing I have more experience than you in all this is I'm telling you, it will come. Now, I don't know about you, but no politics involved in that. It was the retelling of a singularly tragic chapter in one person's life. And, you know, those kinds of stories, obviously, are deeply moving. Because I think we all can, you know, to paraphrase a Russian author, and our happinesses can be varied and diverse, but our sadnesses are pretty much all the same, aren't they? So anyway, Joe Biden today, in a moment that I thought was just one of those moments that you just very seldom see a politician tell. You know, telling a story. But I couldn't help but think as I'm sitting there, you know, it would be impossible for any Republican, any conservative, I should say, these right-wing, soul-dead sons of bitches, again, the only time they cry is when they get their thingy caught in their zipper and their old lady finds out about it. Then there's tears all over the place, amen. Hi, Tusik. Being sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. This message is written by Lottie. Here's a message. We recognize that Mike and Kathy need our support so that they can bring truth to the airways. This is our 20th sponsorship, and we wish to recognize work of that Mike and Kathy are doing and thank them for bringing us an alternative to the lies of conservative talk radio. In addition, it's not just a radio program, but part of our family. An evening visit that begins with Bob Kincaid at Head On Radio Network would not be complete without some quality time spent with Mike and Kathy. Well, that's very kind, Lottie. Thank you so much. I can't believe that this group has sponsored 20 times this program. Yow. Anyway, thanks to the people in the Malloy chat room. And if you want to go there, just go to my website, MikeMalloy.com. Look around, you'll see where to go, and log in, and hang out for a while. Unless you're a troll. You know, if you're a troll, they will kick your ass and banish you. So, you know, it's up to you. Thanks to the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. As you know, I don't do guests. But every once in a while, I will have somebody on because I believe in what their message is. It's very rare in these times. Before I introduce you to Andy Caffrey, let me just go something. That is his website, Caffrey, C-A-F-F-R-E-Y, caffreyforcongress.org. This has been up for over a year. He wrote on the day that Hosni Mubarak was brought down in Egypt, and he wrote, "Now what for Egypt? A new just government must be designed and programs developed. In Egypt, the people were galvanized by revulsion of widespread corruption, no jobs, especially for younger Egyptians, and poverty. So what about us? Can we galvanize our own electoral revolution around fixing the major crises of the USA? Can we come together as a nation to fight for what we all have in common? I think we can, but to do this, We need something to focus the diversity of Americans on a shared vision. I'm building my congressional campaign around the 7 proposals of my new Green America plan. We don't have time to recruit all caring souls into the same political party. 30 years of working in the Citizens Party and the Green Parties have shown me that the Green Party task cannot accomplish these goals in time. And nature bats last. So I've articulated the path for solutions to the most fundamental problems faced by Americans, but in which there are large numbers of people in agreement. To join this revolution, you don't have to agree to accept to 7. But if you focus on just one of these 7, in concert with the rest of us, you're doing your part for building a new green America and saving the planet. And then he lists the 7 proposals that are absolutely critical. I think for most of the listeners to this program, while the way these are presented may be a little bit different, the essence of these 7 proposals are something that you all are very, very familiar with. But I want you to go to this website, CAFREYforCongress.org, C-A-F-F-R-E-Y, CAFREYforCongress.org. Check him out. He's in California's 2nd District, I believe, which is the North Coast of the Golden State. Andy joins us now. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Somebody told me that you also listen to this program occasionally when you feel like you really have to, get crazy.
Actually, Mike, I heard your first broadcast on Air America.
Oh, my God, really?
Well, yeah, I've been listening, I'd say 80% on and the rest of the time off since I'm busy.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. What... I'm looking at this thing. It says New Green America. Is that a phrase? Is that a political party? Is that an objective?
It's a meme.
A meme, okay.
It's a meme, yeah. You see, I've been working in green politics and in Earth First actually exactly as long, except by a day, since 1985. And I thought I'd be more involved in the Green Party work because the Green Party, which basically came together right after the whole Jesse Jackson Rainbow Coalition thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we had done the Citizens Party just before that. There was this effort, finally, to integrate all of these issues that you and a lot of the progressive talk radio people do, and we kind of take for granted now. But really, we're still not dealing with them systematically. We talk about them. You know, I've been reading The Nation since the 1970s and Progressive Magazine and got the first copy of Mother Jones. And, you know, we've all been talking about this stuff. We all know the stuff. And as you said, the stuff in my New Green America list is stuff that your listeners are going to find very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened is, though, that the Green Party was taken from Europe and glommed onto our system, and our system won't let it breathe. In the rest of the world, you have parliamentary systems, mm-hmm. and the only thing you had to do to start to get a voice in the federal government was to get 5% of the population to vote for you.
Right.
Here you have to get 50% plus one vote. And we've tried for 30 years, and over that time, I evolved into doing more and more Earth First work, because Earth First was starting to integrate things. We started the Rainforest Action Network, so we were talking about the World Bank and globalization in the mid-80s. We were working with indigenous peoples, and we were dealing with the ecology crisis. And so I've been an activist my entire adult life. I've probably worked on over 1,000 projects and campaigns, and essentially I do what can make things happen, or I try to do that. And what's happened now is that the climate crisis has gotten so severe, and the Green Party situation is no better, because as we've seen with the presidential debates, they're not going to let a Ralph Nader or anybody else say anything outside of the dominant paradigm, so they just exclude them all.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Green Party could have been doing, and I'm not blaming anyone in particular, it's just sort of an overall movement failure, is educating the American people about what genuinely green politics looks like.
Mm-hmm.
How is it different from being a liberal environmentalist? So my program, New Green America, is about taking the most fundamental issues that I think your listeners, the people who watch MSNBC, basically anyone who's a progressive or to the left of that or more ecological, or even really just liberals and centrists for the most part at this point, that we all I've been worried about, and we've all really wanted to solve, and we haven't. And since I found a way to get elected by registering Democratic, I felt I needed to have something to show that I wasn't co-opting green politics. I wasn't going to say, oh, I'm joining the Democratic Party, and this kind of Democratic Party way of doing green politics is the real way of doing it. No. I wanted people to know exactly what they can hold me accountable for. And that's what that list is about. And it's also, as you mentioned earlier, a way for people to start talking about these fundamental issues. This flyer I have has been up next to our health food store for like 9 months. And people have just been talking about things like, you know, retreating the American empire and ending corporate personhood and legalizing marijuana and prosecuting Bush for murder. I mean, these are things that all of your listeners would love, right?
It is. What do you say, though, to people who find themselves in this presidential election coming up, not wanting to validate Obama because of his miserable record? Insofar as progressives or liberals are concerned, and certainly are not going to vote for Romney for all the obvious reasons, and are fairly convinced that Obama is, just another side of the corporate coin. What do you say to people who say, okay, what do I do? Who am I going to vote for? If I don't vote for Obama, I cannot imagine a Romney presidency and the chaos and destruction that will occur. What do you say to them?
Well, I said they're absolutely right. The game's rigged. We have no choice for president. Nothing. So what you can do is, I mean, you have to vote for Obama if you're in a state where it's close. I just don't see, you know, the Supreme Court decisions and all this, but you don't expect Obama's going to do anything to really make it better. You don't think of the presidency as the place to do it. That's why I'm focusing on Congress. It's not just a cliche that, you know, it's the people's house.
It
can actually be that. And what happened was...
Andy, hold on just a second. We're coming up on a break here. Let me just put you on hold for a second. We'll do 3 or 4 minutes here, and then we'll come back and continue the conversation. We're talking with Andy Caffrey, California's second district on the North Coast. Go to his website, please. Caffrey, C-A-F-F-R-E-Y, for Congress. .org. We'll be right back. The hour. We're talking with Andy Caffrey, who is running for Congress in California's 2nd District. So you are well, I'll tell you what, go ahead and pick up where you were when we went to the break, Andy.
Yeah, what I'm saying is if you live in a state where it's close, you vote for Obama. And if you don't, you get involved and you vote for the Green. Because what we are talking about is green politics is the only politics that's even remotely talking about sustainability. And the whole planet has to move that way. And if no one else is talking about it, you have to go with the Greens and start to build that culture. So what I do is I don't ask the question, well, which one is it, Obama or Romney? They're both terrible. I think we start with what is our plight, and as people, what do we do about that? And you find that, well, actually the presidency is something that you can undermine in different ways. And what I found as a climate organizer for 30 years, and, you know, the Democrats and Republicans have failed us utterly on the climate. For 30 years, they've done nothing, and now we're at the point where half of Greenland's ice is sitting on a layer of water. This is no joke. If that ice sheet goes, you're looking at a 20-foot sea level increase. Well, where I live in Humboldt County, if 1/20th of it goes and we get a 1-foot sea level increase, it's going to wipe out Eureka. It's going to wipe out San Rafael down at the southern end of our district.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I believe that we cannot let happen. And so I start with that proposition.
Right. How? Let me ask you this. What kind of support, if you are running as a Democrat, are you getting any support from the state or the national Democrats?
No, they're all pretending I don't exist. We actually have a really strange situation because the activist Norman Solomon is also running. And that's a long, convoluted story, but essentially they combined two districts that used to be the North Coast and a separate district from Marin County, which Lynn Woolsey represents.
Right.
And Norman was going to run to replace Lynn Woolsey, and then they had this gerrymandering they do every 10 years with the census, and they combined their district and our district, which was also Democratic, but our guy is a blue dog, and they eliminated those two Democratic seats and made them one.
Mm-hmm.
So now Norman and seven other people from Marin County, which is like the Bay Area, are running against four of us from the more remote counties up here. And it's a really extreme difference because there the median income's $85,000 a year, and here it's $35,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And here we're like, we've been destroyed by the timber industry, and marijuana is the main cult, the main economy we have. $1 to $2.6 billion a year comes into Humboldt County, and I've even heard as high as $4 billion a year from marijuana. And that's, well, that's 25 to over 50% of the economy.
Yeah, do you represent the town up there, Fort Bragg?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
Yes, that's where I smoked my joint the first time.
Is that right? I spent a month there one night. Well, that's the way it felt anyway, in Northern California, camped out on the beach, and the timber industry, not only, have they done the damage that they've done, but the thing that was astonishing to me was the beaches with all the, bleached white, trees that had, you know, escaped from, you know, from the cuttings and had wound up floating out to sea and then being dashed back into, it looked like huge bones on your beaches up there.
Dinosaurs, yeah.
Yeah, incredible. What are the, how would you assess your chances since you are running against Norman Solomon in a sense?
Well, it's interesting. I'm going to win, actually.
All right.
It's a very strange thing. We have something called an open primary now, too.
Uh-huh.
We also have no incumbents who are running, and only 3 of the 12 people have any government experience at all. One state assemblyman, one county supervisor, and one vice mayor of Petaluma. You know, the wrist wrestling championship.
Right.
and then you got Norman and me, and you've got a medical marijuana doctor, and you got a seaweed grower. The latter two guys are also from up here, and we call ourselves the Emerald Triangle because we're the three very strong marijuana people. But what's happened is, in setting out this list of 7 positions, and they've been out for a long time. I actually started preparing to run 5 years ago after the 2006 election when the Democrats won the House and Senate,
mm-hmm.
and I saw that 15 seats were won by the Democrats by 5,000 votes or less. And I thought, you can give the net roots credit for that.
Right.
Well, what if we started organizing the ones we lost by 5,000 or less?
Mm-hmm.
We could start to win them. And going back to what I was saying about Obama and our plight, you know, what's going on here? Why is it we're at a point where the planet's biosphere is collapsing and none of these people are talking about it? They're talking about contraception and all this other nonsense.
It's crazy.
Well, it's because, as you know, as an example, all 41 Republican senators meet the diagnostic criteria for antisocial personality disorder, a kind of psychopathy.
Sure.
And that's true about most of the Democrats as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? Even if each one isn't a psychopath, they act like them. And that means they act without conscience. So my presumption, that the bottom line is, these people are not going to get the job done. They just aren't. And you're insane if you think they are. And what's happened is, with Norman, is, it's funny, I was the first person to call on him to run, because my theory was, if we can get, we have to get non-corporatists in. We have to do the Saul Alinsky thing. Let's get the people in there who the communities think of as their natural leaders. How do we do that? Well, they got all that money in the corporatist campaigns. Well, what does that buy you? It buys you a bunch of TV ads.
It does. Andy, we're flat out of time. Listen,
okay.
I want to talk with you again. But for the time being, I want people just to go to your website, CaffreyForCongress.org. Andy, the best to you. I hope we get a chance to chat again. I really look forward to it. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. That's why I smoke. time for podcast trivia here on the Beloit program. Hoo-ah. All you have to do is get the right answer to our multiple choice question, and you will win a 1 year commercial free podcast download in your email every morning, wherever you want it sent, for you to enjoy. It has a retail value of about $56.40. That's why we call ourselves a 25-cent radio program. That's about what it averages out to. So, are you ready to play? All right, Maestro, if you would, please. We have Carl in Nashville, Tennessee. Right, Carl?
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
I'm all right, Carl. Let's have... What?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. You're here to play podcast trivia, right?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead and begin the music here, if you would, Mrs. Engineer. All right, here's the question, Carl. A huge scandal is developing inside the Vatican. In fact, a couple of scandals. They may or may not be connected. However, a person very, very close to the Pope was arrested today. It is suspected that this person was leaking documents that show all sorts of fraud and chicanery going on at the seat of Catholic power. Was the person arrested today A, man painting the Sistine Chapel, B, the Pope's special and secret friend, C, the Pope's masseuse, D, the Pope's butler, or E, the Pope's secret husband?
Wow, I'm going to go with D because all the rest of them sound so ridiculous.
The Pope's butler? You win. No. All right, Carl. All the rest of them sound ridiculous. What are you talking about?
It's sounding real funny. You know, I'm going to throw that one out there.
You don't think that he has a secret husband, huh?
Well, you know, I know a little history of the Pope's, and it's, hey, man, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, but it's the part that would be surprising if you and I took a look at all the dirty dealings of all the popes over the past 1,800 years.
It is a fascinating history.
Yeah, it is.
It is a fascinating. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize that one time there were two popes.
There were.
Yeah, it's just the weirdest thing. But listen, you know what I've noticed?
What?
Sometimes in this world of politics, and I love politics, it's my favorite sport, you have to filter through all the garbage, and every now and then, if you look in the corner of darkness, you see a jewel. And I walk over to that jewel and crack it open and open it up. I've noticed something. Over the past 3.5 years,
yeah,
Obama and his administration has done something that has gone extremely unnoticed.
What's that?
They are going to win the military vote. And let me explain to you how they're going to win. I'm originally from a big city. I'm originally from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They have two local gangs in Chicago, been there forever, the Disciples and the Vice Lords.
Right.
And the way you fight the Disciples and the Vice Lords, a street gang, is not with the Marines, the Navy, and the Army. You send in special task force to fight them. That's what he's been doing with the quote-unquote war on terror. Instead of him throwing in all of these military people, he's been quietly knocking off the heads of Al-Qaeda and all these organizations that would do ill to us. And now, see, the sacred cows in the military, the generals, they may still support Republicans, but the enlisted guy, the guy that's going to put his life on the line, these people are noticing that, wait a minute, this guy isn't sending in the Marines and Army to fight the Disciples and Vice Lords. He's sending in special forces. He's doing it surgically, and they appreciate this. And the rhetoric and the lies that the Republicans have shoved down the American public about, you know, Democrats being weak on defense, this, that, and the other, is not getting through. So while we've been paying attention to birtherism and the obstructionists of the Congress and the red states and all their hatred and racism and everything, quietly, Joe Biden, Jill Biden, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama has been slowly getting the military vote. And I'm telling you, he's going to, in an election, where every vote counts, he's going to get a majority of the military vote.
Well, you know, Carl, I don't, you know, I don't disagree with you on that. I think, first of all, I think that Democrats have always been just as warmongering as Republicans.
Absolutely.
You know, the idea that only Republicans cause wars is nonsense. Democrats have been more pro-military in the long run than Republicans, because the Democrats have always tried to get this and that for the veterans when they come home, or to make sure that they have the kind of equipment they need to go kill people and blow stuff up. But it's been
for the first time, a Democrat has done it in a smarter way.
Right. Well, that's true.
There's a way to do it.
But let me just say this. Will you agree with this? I agree with what you're saying, but it's still not right. I mean, what Obama is doing is executing people. Now, I understand, you know, Al-Qaeda, War on Terror, all this other garbage that comes from the Bush-Cheney years, but Obama is going after people, and if he kills 5-6 kids and 8 or 9 tribal people, and this woman washing her clothes in a stream, well, that's just too bad. Well, okay, it's just too bad unless it's your sister or my mother or his little baby. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you this right here. The reason why the Democratic Party are going to win from here on out going into the future is that there are people like me and you that may disagree on things, but we still are not going to demonize each other, and we're still going to be the part of the party. Republicans are so want things their way or the highway, and if you don't think their narrow-minded way, then you can't be a part of their little club. And that's the reason why we will prevail from years to come, because people like me and you that may disagree on little things, we still can say, you know what, there's room in the tent for both of us. Have a good evening, man.
All right, Carl, appreciate what you had to say. Thanks for checking in. Oh, Carl, call back in. I forgot to give you your... You got to give us your podcast information. Carl, get back on the phone. Come on, Carl. Call in. Damn. Carl!
It's okay.
Come on, Carl. Call in. Well, we got mosquitoes down here. You know, what can I say? I got an email from, let's see if I can find it here, an email from somebody who wants to make sure that, you know, I am not suggesting people not to vote for Obama. And it was, you know, very impassioned, and I've gotten these before. I've gotten these emails before. During various presidential campaigns, and I know it's going to get more intense in the email department here as we get closer to the election. And what I've tried to do, and what I'm going to continue to try to do, is I state my case. And you make your own decision. That's all. I don't expect to have, nor am I entitled to, any influence over anybody. You know, I've said it a million times. This is a 25-cent radio program. There's a million things you could be doing instead of tuned in here. Now, if you really want to be told what to do, which all right wingers do, you know, go listen to the pig man. Listen to him, get nasty and all child molesty with a 14-year-old. Listen to him, with his drunken, drug-addled crap. But go there. Rush will be happy. He built his whole career on telling people, I will tell you what to think. I will read the news. I will tell you what to think. Okay. But I can also tell you this, for people who are going to be upset or disappointed or pissed off because I'm not coming out wholeheartedly in support of Obama, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you in advance. It's not going to happen for me. It simply is not. I am not going to get on the air and promote the policies or policies that I do not agree with. Now, you get that from Republicans and conservatives and some faux liberals. I can't do it. And it's not because I am, this pristine progressive who just won't compromise his values. I spent my whole goddamn life compromising my values. Come on. You know, I'm just an average dude. So as far as compromise and doing things that I didn't particularly want to do, yeah, I've got a long history of that, don't you? But I'm not doing this, with this election. I have my own personal thoughts and feelings about this, and I'm not going to become an advocate. I'm not going to become an advocate for the Democratic Party or for Barack Obama. I can't do it. We'll be right back.
Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour being sponsored, or has been sponsored. Oh, my God. Second hour is up already? Time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? This hour being sponsored, has been sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. The message was written by Lottie. And the message is... Drum roll, please. We recognize that Mike and Kathy need our support so they can bring truth to the airwaves. This is our 20th sponsorship, and we wish to recognize the work of Mike and Kathy, that Mike and Kathy are doing, and thank them for bringing us an alternative to the lies of conservative talk radio. In addition, it's not just a program. It's not just a radio program, but part of our family. An evening visit that begins with Bob Kincaid at Head On Radio Network would not be complete without some quality time spent with Mike and Kathy. Thank you to the Malloy and Skype chat rooms and to Lottie for a very nice message. We appreciate it very much. Thanks, guys. Thanks, girls. Mark is in San Francisco. Hello,
hey,
Mark. Hi.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, we're coming up on Memorial Day.
Right.
And, you know, we really have to ask the question, what is our troops fighting for when they look at this country with a Supreme Court that says corporations are people?
Yeah.
And you have this voter suppression. And, you know, one of the reasons you go to war and fight is for the right to vote. And we have a party that's suppressing millions of potential Democratic voters out of the voting procedure. And you look down at Michigan and they've got dictators in the city. I mean, what's our military fighting for? What kind of country are they defending? You know, that's the question I have, Mike.
Well, I think you know the answer, and I know the answer. And I know your question is primarily rhetorical, and I think most people that listen to this program know the answer. It's just a shame when I hear always right-wingers, you know, with their stupid-ass little slogans and memes like, you know, freedom isn't free, and, you know, we got to fight them in the streets of Saigon or the streets of Managua or the streets of someplace else, or we'll have to fight them in the streets of America. You know, we've been listening to that garbage for how long? So this is why I have become so anti-military, not anti-military personnel. So many people join the military now because there's nothing, there's no jobs, there's no work, there's no health care. So they rolled the dice. Well, I won't get, you know, I won't get half my head shot away. I won't get killed. I won't be involved in a firefight where, when the smoke clears, I find out that, you know, seven kids and three old women were shot to death. So they roll the dice and they go into the military. And that's part of the reason that corporate America has utterly and absolutely destroyed the middle class and continue to push. I mean, there may be some improving numbers here and there, but the push is still going on and on and on, because once you take away from people their jobs, it's very easy to get them to think that the only place that they can take care of themselves is to join the military. And this just puts more bodies, more people in the firing line for capitalist America. So, you know, every time there's a Memorial Day, every time there's a funeral for another soldier who was shot, who is killed in a firefight someplace, or a sniper gets him or whatever, or every time I read that a drone aircraft has sent a Hellfire missile into a family, you know, I get sick. I mean, literally, I don't know what chemicals are being released into my body when I read that or when I see that, but it's not good. And so what are they fighting for? You know what they're fighting for, Mark. They're fighting for these pig, filthy capitalists that run this country and run both political parties. That's who they're fighting for.
Yeah, how sad. How sad for our military. You know, and you're right that they're left with no choice. A lot of these young Americans go in there because there's nowhere else for them to go. There's no jobs,
yeah.
No other future, so they take their chances. And, you know, the way it looks now, if this Paul Ryan budget gets in, you're just going to see more of it, because there's going to be more people out of work, and the future will look just horrible. And basically, they want a couple of generations to fight their corporate wars.
That's
it's really
right.
Sad, Mike.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate
okay, brother,
you checking
take
in. Take care. And if you need a little icing on that cake made out of cow dung, how about this? Profits at big U.S. companies broke records last year. Profits. And so did the pay for the CEOs. The very people who are doing everything in their power to destroy everything in this country. Pay folks a subsistence income. The head of a typical corporation made $9.6 million in 2011, according to an analysis by the Associated Press. They used data from Equilar, an executive pay research firm. $9.6 million. That was up more than 6% from the previous year. That's the second year in a row of increases. The figure is also the highest since the AP began tracking executive compensation 6 years ago. It's just astonishing. There is a divide in this country that is getting deeper and wider. Now, I'm telling you, eventually, I mean, read your history. Eventually, the people who are being pushed back, the millions of people who are being pushed back, and push back, the 100 million people in this country right now who are either underemployed or unemployed, eventually there is going to be an explosion. There is going to be an explosion that is going to be horrific. I'm telling you. And it's not because I'm saying it. It's because history says it. We'll be right back. is 7 past the hour. So, well, I'll get back to that in a second. This hour is being sponsored by sand. And you've heard me read some of Sand's emails before, but the hour is sponsored by Sand tonight, this third hour. And Sand writes, from my message, I have a quote from Glenn Ford. Now, he's not referring to the actor, obviously. He's referring to the man who runs or writes for the Black Agenda Report online. So the message is a quote from Glenn Ford. Here's what it is. Let me say from the very beginning that we at Black Agenda Report do not think Barack Obama is the lesser evil. He is the more effective evil. He has been more effective in evil doing than Bush in terms of protecting the citadels of corporate power and advancing the imperial agenda. He has put both Wall Street and U.S. imperial power on new and more aggressive tracks, just as he hired himself out to do. Signed, Glenn Ford. That comes from Sam Fessler, who sent this in. Thank you, Sam. Thanks for the sponsorship. And it's a I think that's kind of the point. That is put well. If we're going to talk about good and evil, if we're going to talk about the lesser of two and all this other garbage, which I frankly am sick of talking about. I mean, we've been talking about that through how many presidential campaigns. After watching this filthy clown show put on by these nine dwarfs that ran interminably, these Republicans, as they chewed and bit each other into pieces, and I mean just half-wit moron jackasses, one after another, the pizza man and Bachman and just on Perry and just on and on and on, you know, and you couldn't sit through any of that without coming to the conclusion, what in the hell has happened to the country? What in, not the country, but the political system. Is this it? Is this what corporate America says we're going to put up against Barack Obama? And as Glenn Ford points out, Barack Obama, why would corporate America want to get rid of him? There's no reason. Obama has done more than this filthy, half-dead Dick Cheney ever thought about doing, where it concerns solidifying this takeover of our political system by these rancid capitalists. Look, Obama is not a dumbass, as we all know, but in kind of a not Machiavellian, but in kind of a weird sense, he knows where the power is. Obama's not going to get out there and lead. Have you seen him lead in anything? Go ahead. Tell me where he has led. Labor relations? Oh, please. And don't start in about the withdrawal from Iraq and all this bull feathers about Afghanistan. The withdrawal from Iraq was put into place by the warmonger himself, George W. Bush, and his handler, Dick Cheney. Curtailing corporate power? What has Obama done? Has he lent the support of his mighty office behind any kind of democratic legislation to bring this corporate power to heel? No, he has not. So you tell me, and I'm asking, I know this is going to fall on deaf ears, especially, you know, the people who are not listening tonight, the liberals who are not listening tonight. Stop sending me the goddamn emails telling me that I have got to support Obama. In a pig's ass, I do. No, I don't. And I will not. You do what you want to do. I've said before, I'm not going to advocate against him. I will point out the same stuff I pointed out when he ran 4.5 years ago. He is who he is. But if you think he's some kind of a progressive leader who is trying to break the back of corporate power, you, my friend, are a fool. You are a complete jerk. If you want to vote for more of the same old, as we go down this rabbit hole once again, then have at it. It's a free country. Of course it is. But if you come to this program expecting, because somebody told, because I'm on Sirius Left, or because somebody said, you ought to listen to this program in you know, in Seattle or Portland or LA or wherever we are, and somebody has said to you, you ought to listen to this guy, he's a liberal, he's a progressive. And you come here thinking that you are going to get, you're going to hear support for Obama, you're in for a shock. Because it's not here. Now, again, I'm not going to advocate against him. I'm not going to get involved in that filth hole that the Republican, the right-wingers have dug. These goddamn psychopaths, these sociopaths, with all their birther horse crap and their religious horse crap, and just throwing mud at each other like a bunch of little demented three-year-olds. You know, no, I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to get there at all. I think the rottenest, rankest thing that's ever happened to this country are these right-wingers. But as far as Mr. Obama's concerned, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again and again and again, he's a great speaker. I could sit back and listen to Barack Obama speeches, you know, for hours. You know, yeah. And then I realized that when he's finished, it was a speech. That's all it was. It wasn't a plan. It wasn't a program. It wasn't an objective. Don't you remember the promises? Do you remember any of the promises? And all this stuff about, well, Mike, you know, you have to understand, it was a presidential campaign, and you say things, and then you get into office, and you realize, whoops. Well, then, is this country capable of producing a leader, man or woman, black or white, who, if they do get into office and they have that moment of whoops, that they can't stand up on their hind legs and go in front of the American people and say, guess what I discovered? All that stuff I told you in the campaign, I meant it, and I can't do it. And here's why. Now, if you, the American people, want to change it, then goddamn change it. But this is not a kingdom. I can't sit up here in the White House and do this and do that and do the other thing. I get so sick of this. I get sick of this every 4 years. If you want to change the system in this country, Mr. and Ms. America, then get off your ass and change it. Obama is not going to do it. Corporate America is not going to do it. The right-wingers are not going to do it. The Democratic Party is not going to do it. The Republicans are not going to do it. The Green Party can't do it. So what are you going to do? I've said a million times, don't come to this program for answers. I don't have any. And I'm not so arrogant as to tell you, oh, well, this is a way to do it. That's what the pig, filthy bastard, Limbaugh, child-molesting, drug-addled freak does. That's what that total sociopath Glenn Beck does. That's what they do on the right wing. Because they know that their right-wing followers just suck it up. They're the kind of people who thanked God for the arrival of Hitler. And would love to see a Hitler type in this country. So don't come here looking for things that you're not going to find. You know what I'm saying?
World order, we hold the evident, yeah. In the American way, you must give and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. Because I want, because I will. To wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Excuse me. You know, the argument, of course, also the one that the most of the emails that come to me who from people who say, you know, you're undermining Obama's reelection chances. You are, in effect, supporting Mitt Romney. Do you know what's going to happen to the Supreme Court if Obama isn't reelected? I'll tell you what's going to happen to the Supreme Court if Obama is reelected. You don't think, I hope, for a moment, that a liberal or a progressive, in the older sense of the word, from, say, 40 years ago, would A, be nominated by Obama, and B, even if he were or she were, do you think that the Senate would confirm? Let's supposing that the Senate, after Obama's election, and the House fall into the hands, both. The Senate stays in the hands of Democrats, and the House goes back to Democrats. And let's say the split in the House, or in the Senate, is, oh, I don't know, 55-45. Democratic. The magic number's not there. Oh, I know. Whoever is the Senate leader could probably change the rules with a new section of Congress. And what kind of screaming would that produce? And how quickly would Harry Reid or whoever, or Barack Obama or whoever, back down? Do you honestly believe? And this is a part that just tears me up. Do you honestly believe that Barack Obama in a second term would nominate, and a Senate, unless that Senate contained 64, 65 Democrats, would ever confirm a liberal, a progressive? Are you crazy? Where do you live? What do you have for brains? Do you really believe that the Democrats are not under control of corporate America? The same as the Republicans? You can't believe that. You can't believe, can you? Maybe you can. That Barack Obama is somehow going to appoint and they will be confirmed liberal or progressive Supreme Court judges? If you believe that, what you are displaying is a hideous, unbelievable political ignorance that is just almost off the charts. Now, what to do about it? We're at a point, truth seekers. You know, I've said this. I'll keep saying it. I'll keep saying it until I don't have a radio program anymore. We are at a point where the only thing that's going to change the course we're on is massive, massive nonviolent resistance. The system, the electing system, is smashed. It is so corrupted and broken. Come on. Where have you been since December 12th, 2000? I don't know. That was 12 years ago. Maybe you were 10 years old. I don't know. But for God's sake, You still have faith in a system that is this corrupted? If you want the change, you can make it happen. We can make it happen. But we are not going to make it happen by voting Democratic. How? Show me. Explain it to me. I am open. How many Democratic senators can you count on tonight to vote for progressive legislation? How many? That's right. Not enough. How many blue dog Democrats are left? Not that many. What do you have now? You have Democrats who are terrified that if they vote progressive or liberal, that some mouth-breathing psychopath will come up with $800 million behind him, put together by some right-wing billionaire freak, and will destroy him. So what does he do? Either stays safely in the middle or he drifts to the right. Don't kid yourself about this damn Supreme Court crap. It's not going to happen.
Redefining anger management. Back to Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by San Fessler. San's message is a quote from Glenn Ford, who is with Black Agenda Report online. And Glenn Ford says, quote, "Let me say from the very beginning that we at Black Agenda Report do not think that Barack Obama is the lesser evil. He is the more effective evil. He has been more effective in evil doing than Bush in terms of protecting the citadels of corporate power and advancing the imperial agenda. He has put both Wall Street and U.S. imperial power on new and more aggressive tracks, just as he hired himself out to do." Signed, Glenn Ford. Thanks, Sand. You know, it's a tough issue, but the reason it's tough this year is because we haven't been paying attention for the past 40, certainly the past 30 years. We just haven't been paying attention. We created this vacuum, you and me. Well, not you, not me. I mean, I've always voted, so have you. But a major turnout in this country in a presidential election is 55%, 58%, maybe 60. A major turnout. When you have that level of disinterest in a system that requires full participation in order to elect leaders who are going to take us in the direction that we want them to take us, it's not going to happen. What will happen is what has happened. While we've been busily diverted by all kinds of shiny little balls and bats and garbage and this little trick and, ooh, look, I have an iPhone and all this other crap. While we've been diverted with this, the people who have not been diverted have been slowly accumulating the power, all of the power, to the point that they can now select a president. To the point that they can now order an invasion of a country that has done nothing to the United States, and an invasion that is in full-throated violation of every goddamn international agreement that we have signed for the past 60 years. And nobody does anything. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, there were 500,000 of us who marched, remember, in December of 2002. What happened in March of 2003? 500 stinking thousand of us. That's it. We gave it away, is the point I'm trying to get to. We gave it away. We gave it away through disinterest. I'm too busy. They're all corrupt. At one time, they weren't all corrupt. At least the people coming up, the people who had an idea, you know, this corruption, this imperialism, this warmongering has got to stop. It's got to stop. So I think I'll stand for election. And what happened to that man or that woman? What happened? They were just chewed up and spit out. If Barack Obama will not actively, vocally support the Occupy movement, which has done nothing except point toward the truth, what makes you think that these God Almighty Supreme Court appointments are going to be anything other than exactly what corporate America wants? Now, it's one thing to be dazzled. It's another thing to be hopeful, but it's something else again to continue to act against your own best interests and the best interests of this country. Now, maybe that is just too quaint now. Maybe that is just too passe. Best interests of the country? Oh, come on, Malloy. Jesus Christ, what are you talking about? The people have no power whatsoever any longer where it concerns the best interests of this country. This is just madness. Come on. Come on. So all of this just to say that, when I do not support either one of these candidates, you know, Mitt Romney is a goddamn liar. Barack Obama's just a liar. That's the difference. What did he say during the campaign? Oh, yeah, I'm going to stand out there with the labor, with the common working man and working well. Oh, yeah, they go on strike or this one goes on strike. I'll find a pair of comfortable shoes and get out there and march with them. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? And I look at some of these half-witted liberals, I'm not going to name any names, who are in media in this country, whether it's radio or television, just continuing to get down on their knees in front of Obama. Just continuing to do it. To advance their careers. Hey, look at me, I'm on MSNBC. Rah, 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 rah. Look at me, I'm on this station and that station. Look at me, yahoo! Okay. Kevin is in Colorado Springs. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, good evening, Mike. You, at the bottom of the hour earlier, you were talking about people being on either side. I've come to the conclusion the only thing that I can put in the pro column for voting for Obama is to keep Romney from the presidency. I give him half a check mark for the Affordable Care Act that was watered down and given away. And what you just mentioned about him putting on some comfortable shoes and marching with picketers, where has he been in Wisconsin? Nowhere to be found. And that, for me, is almost—it's unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was not—that's not one of them promises that he couldn't keep because he was president. It's very easy to get out there and at least show some support for the Tom Barrett in Wisconsin to keep that governor, if you want to call him that, from just completely defunding that state of anything.
You know, I can understand and appreciate an argument that says Barack Obama could no more have marched in pro-labor parade or pro-labor demonstration as president of the United States in Wisconsin, then he could jump off a cliff. He didn't necessarily have to do that. I mean, it's one thing to listen to political rhetoric and identify it as such. You know, when Obama said during the campaign, I'll get out there and march with you. Okay. What he could have done, though, was to have given some vocal support. He could have
exactly.
talked about it. He could have pointed people in the direction of Wisconsin from the other side of the coin, not from the side of these corporate sons of bitches who have pumped hundreds of million or tens of millions of dollars into Wisconsin to shore up this little prick who is going to probably remain as governor of Wisconsin. He could have come down on the side of justice and righteousness and truth, and he didn't. He chose to continue to be the corporatist that governs from the center, not even the center left, from the center right. This is what Obama is doing. And, to me, not to you, not to him, her, them, to me, that's unforgivable. Especially after what he said. I didn't expect him to go find a pair of beat-up loafers and carry a sign in this goddamn country with the people out there with their guns and their knives and their bullets and their clubs. No, I didn't expect that. But he could have been from the safety of the White House, the safety of the whatever, a TV studio, stood up on his hind legs and supported those people. And he didn't say a damn thing. What he did do is support the banksters and support the liars and the cheats. So to hell with him.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
I just can't do it anymore, Kevin. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate what you had to say. I just can't. I mean, I can't. And if you can, then have at it. But if you want change in this country at this point in our history, Just like the Chumbawamba song, open your eyes, time to wake up. Then you're going to have to, I'm going to have to, millions of us are going to have to bring the country to a stop. And we have to do it peacefully, we have to do it nonviolently, and we have to do it with our bodies. You think I'm kidding? Then you tell me. Send me an email. Write me a letter. Give me a phone call. Then you tell me what to do. What? Go vote Democratic? Oh, for Christ's sake. Get real!
Down to the very last breath.
Been sponsored by Sand Fessler. Thank you, Sand. Dennis is in Santa Fe listening on KTRC. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm excellent.
Good.
So, yes, I'm a 15-year-old who's grown up knowing of you as Moderate Mike.
Moderate Mike, right.
And actually, and his mom, who's been saying for about 15 years, she hates him listening because of your language. But,
oh, God.
The truth, I don't care how he says it. So, yeah, so I want to talk about this thing with Obama.
Sure.
I mean, I agree completely with your analysis. I mean, the way I look at it is where, you know, I call it corporate feudalism. We've been moving there at least since Reagan. I think it's intentional. The whole plan is to destroy the middle class. No doubt in my mind that's what's happening, and we're pretty close to ultimately happening. So as I view it, I look at, you know, Reagan put it all into place, what I call the steps to corporate feudalism. I think clearly with Bush, they just kept on going. Clinton, it moved in the same direction, and I feel more slowly. Meaning, you know, poor people actually did a little better under Clinton. Even though Clinton was, you know, responsible for a lot of, you know, obviously deregulation of the bank, a lot of the stuff that got us to where we are. But I feel like we...
He also was hell on poor people. Utter, absolute hell.
Well, okay, in terms of getting rid of all the, you know, obviously the safety net, I agree. Well, I guess what I meant is, in terms of job creation, he did some. But nonetheless, what I'm saying is, I feel that the move to corporate feudalism was a little slower under Clinton. It went crazy under Bush, obviously, and my feeling is the last step of corporate feudalism is when you bankrupt the country and all the states, and then obviously the corporate feudalists just move in and take over. Then, you know, it's crisis, Naomi Klein's thing. But anyway, my feeling is that under Obama, it moves a little more slowly. And the two places, you mentioned the Supreme Court, and I say it not because I think for a second that they'll put in a liberal. I mean, there's no question if Romney gets in, they'll put in another right-wing lunatic. And if Obama is in, they'll put in a moderate. But the two things that I look at are as examples of why it matters. One is, obviously, the Supreme Court election of Bush, and that led to 9/11. Whether, you know, I'm not saying it's an inside job, but clearly Bush knew about it, didn't do anything about it, allowed it to happen. I don't believe it would have happened under Gore.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the wars that were caused by the Supreme Court kicking Bush. Then, more recently, the five right-wingers in the Supreme Extreme Court, as I call it, they did the Citizens United, which kind of is, actually was a retreat this weekend that had, or this week that had Chris Hedges, and he called that the last, what was it, the death knell of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
The final blow was Citizens United, and again, it was that 5-4 thing. So my sense is, and basically if in 2008 the whole system had collapsed, then the corporate feudalists would have completely taken over, we wouldn't have had Occupy. So my feeling is anything that we can do to slow the final, you know, as I say, the final victory, the complete victory for the corporate feudalists is worth doing. Not because I think Obama's great anyway, because I don't. I mean, he's a corporatist. And my feeling, the last thing I guess I'll say is, my feeling is that Obama would not have been allowed to be elected without giving the talk. This is what I said last night. I said, you know, my feeling is it wasn't like after he got elected, they came and said, okay, here's what you have to do. My feeling is before they gave him all the money to get elected, they say, here's our rules. You know, we're going to keep the same economic team in. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, you can mess around the edges. Okay, but in terms of the real stuff, you know, that's why Dennis Kucinich could never be allowed to be president.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, how many years ago Jerry Brown could not be allowed to be president. So that's, I guess my point is, I think it just will move a little more slowly, which means that gives a little more opportunity for the resistance, you know, to continue to form, like Occupy, and, you know, before the whole collapse comes. So that's my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate what you had to say, Dennis. I understand where you're coming from with saying that, and I just simply cannot agree with that. I'll try to put it as succinctly as I can. And thanks. I'm going to go ahead and clear the line so you can pick it up on KTRC. Thanks, Dennis. As far as Obama appointing a moderate in the first place to the Supreme Court, what does that word mean these days? Secondly, I understand, Dennis, what you're saying about, you know, a vote for Obama, another vote for Obama, another term for Obama would slow the process. But my question would be, You're talking about the process toward fascism. When you're slowing the process, and I think you said in order to give time to movements like Occupy, the Obama administration, and I'm sure you're aware of this, through the Department of Homeland Security, is actively working to gut Occupy, to utterly and absolutely derail it, because this is something that a Democratic Party cannot control. In that same vein, why work to slow something when the inexorable pull and the direction that we're heading, and I'm not saying you said this, but the implication is slow the move to fascism in order to, you know, fill in the blank, in order to set up some kind of resistance. I disagree with that. Why slow when it can be brought to a complete grinding halt? If 30 or 40 million Americans would take a look around and say, oh, my God, do you realize how close we've come to a fascist government? And would then take to the streets and stay in the streets with passive nonviolent resistance until finally we had leaders emerge who would challenge the system with our support. And then we bring it down and replace it with representative government. I'm sorry, I'm out of time. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Good night, Kathy.
Hi, folks. Ronnie.